back in 19- a long time ago, I got involved for the first time in sports. And I'll tell you why. Because in 1968, Denny McLean and Mickey Lolich and Al Kaline and Willie Horton and Dick McAuliffe, I believe Dick McAuliffe was on the team, Detroit Tigers. You have to understand, if you're from Detroit, you are, for the most part, a Detroit fan. Now, I came here and I found out that people like Brother Patrick's from California, and last night he had his heart broken because the Green Bay Packers, which is his team, couldn't pull off the game the other night. And of course, there's different people. Now, you're not from Washington.
No.
But he is a Washington
football team.
I know. I was going to say the Redskins, but that wouldn't have been politically correct. But he's a Washington fan. I have a good friend down in Wichita. He's a Dallas Cowboy fan. Pastor Marcus Heffernan, he's a Buffalo Bills fan. So that's an interesting situation this evening. And so, you know, it's interesting. But when you're from Detroit, I mean, you're a Detroit fan. They'll break your heart every year. As a matter of fact, I was just reading one of my former students who said to me that, or not to me, but it was on Facebook. He says, since the Lions have worked real hard to never getting into the playoffs, he has to choose an alternative. And since he lives in Ohio, he's pulling for the Cincinnati Bengals. So now, I'm from this is a military area, and it's interesting how many of the military people could care less about sports. And again, a lot of people I can understand have turned their back on professional football and those kind of things because of some of the political things that have gone on. But it is an interesting thing. You know, when I was becoming a fan of the Detroit Tigers, they went to the World Series. In the seventh game, they won the World Series. And I believe it was right around that time I went out for baseball. And I remember I went and tried out, and I did extremely well in trying out. But my good friend, he did not make the team. So I remember I went to my brother and I said, you know, I don't think I should play on the team because, you know, Rick didn't make the team. And he said, don't do that. You know, get out there and play. So I did. I became a first baseman for the Perry Pharmacy baseball team. And I still have a picture where they took a picture of us as a team. And I remember the coach saying something. In fact, he said, now remember this picture because somebody on that picture could become the president of the United States. Well, that never happened, but nor did they ever go much further in the area of baseball. But I'm telling you that because sports really drove my life. And one of the things that almost hindered me in the area of my Christianity was the fact that I loved sports so very, very much. I played on teams that were much older than myself, even in softball, and I played baseball, was allowed to, would have been allowed to go to the American Legions. And, you know, and I just thoroughly, it just came naturally to me. When I went to Bethany Christian School as a teacher, this was right after college, they put me as one of the coaches. So I was a coach for their soccer team. And it was the most pathetic thing you'd ever seen in your life. I knew very little about soccer other than the fact that I played a couple years for Pi Kappa Alpha. And I played soccer. And all I really got out of that is I got stitches in my head because I jumped up and hit another guy in the head with trying to hit the soccer ball. So here I am coaching a soccer team, and it was the most pathetic thing you'd ever see. I'm out there coaching the 7th and 8th graders, and I said to them, whenever I didn't know what I was doing, run a lap. You know, and then I'd pull out my book and, you know, didn't realize up until that point that soccer is the number one sport in the world, and they call that football, you know, over other parts of the world. And I thought this was so bad. And I remember one time I was coaching a game, and somebody on the other team came over and said, I mean, I overheard him. And he said, "Oh, don't pay attention to that coach. He doesn't know what he's talking about." And he was absolutely right. I didn't know what I was talking about. But then when I became the baseball coach, now I knew what I was talking about in the area of baseball. And we did very, very well. And I remember I actually even coached, I believe, the varsity team as well at one given point of that. And I knew the difference between knowing a sport and not knowing the sport. And you say, well, you know, are we going to learn about sports tonight? Well, not necessarily, other than the fact that what we have to understand is that there is some lessons to be learned in the area of teamwork. And if you have a good team, that is not just a bunch of individual players. You can have, in baseball, you can have 9 individually great players who cannot gel as a team. And that would be true in basketball, it'd be true in football, and all of these things. Well, in the book of 1 Corinthians, and so we're going to go to chapter 12, but I did want to read something to you that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that this book, the Corinthian church, or the book to the Corinthians, was unto the church of God, which was at Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find that he is going to speak particularly about the church. Chapters 12, 13, 14, if you've ever done a study on the gift of tongues, you would really have to get in there and dig and see what God says regarding this idea of speaking in tongues, which we will not be dealing with this evening. But what we find is in chapter 12, he then after talks about the different gifts, he talks about the body. And in chapter 13, he deals with love. In chapter 14, particularly, he goes into great depth on the subject of tongues. Now, all that by way of introduction to say that I want to preach a message on the local church as a team. The local church as a team. And I want us to see some things here. And I've really gone through some tedious work in trying to understand this passage. Now, obviously, what we're finding here, he's going to compare the church to a body. And of course, when he's comparing the church to the body, he's particularly writing unto that church. And of course, there is in the Bible this idea of the universal church that, you know, when Christ says that he's going to build his church, he wasn't talking about any individual local church at that point. He was dealing with the church in general. Christ shed his blood for the church, whom the Lord loved. The Bible tells us that husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. Well, it means he loved the church in general. But he particularly is in the New Testament going to be talking about a local church. And so I want us to talk about this idea of as a church being a team. And we're going to see this in verses 12. And of course, we will use the obvious analogy of the body. But I also want you to see this as an analogy of a team. All right? So let's look at this evening. First of all, number one, and I'm going to have 9 points here, I think is what I came up with. Number one, the thing I want you to see is that the part is different than the whole. The part is different than the whole. So it's interesting because you'll see in verse 12 that he talks about this. For as the body is one and hath many, what? Members, and all the members of that body, of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been made to drink unto one Spirit. So he is basically talking about the human body, you know, as an analogy to Christ's body. And when you think about the human body, you know, you have one body, but it has many members. And just as you have the body, you have a head, you have a neck, you have arms, you have legs, you've got the torso, you got the feet, you got the fingers, you got the toes, you know, and that's how we are talking about the fact that the ankle bone's connected to the knee bone and whatever bone it's connected to. So all of that is a bone or as a body, and you have all these bones put together. And isn't it funny, you know, that every one of us have a head. Now that would be really odd to have somebody come in here without a head. You know, so when you look at a body, we certainly have one body. And yet there's different parts to that body. And as we have just described, likewise, we're told in verse 13, and he says, so also is Christ. So by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So the Scripture tells us very, very clearly that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, immersed us into the body of Christ. And again, we speak about the body universal, but we also can see that would be true as we are Christians. When we got saved, the Bible tells us in verse 13, we were immersed and baptized into that body. So we do know that that's the case. Verse 20, now are they many members, yet but one body. Verse 27, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now that is true with a team. And I want to bring in this analogy here. That when you are playing baseball, like I know a lot about baseball, and I do know that in the case of that sport, that you have a team. I mentioned that I was part of the Perry Pharmacy baseball team. And that was the first time I ever had anybody throw a ball at me. You know, and you stop and think about it. Now, you're a little kid, but man, they're throwing that as fast as they can, and you could get hit and you could get hurt. And one time I got hit by a fella who threw a curveball, and I ducked out of the way, and I thought, I'm never going to do that again. He threw another ball, but it wasn't a curveball, and I stayed right there, and he hit me in the head, and I ended up in the hospital. You know, so you know, on a team, you know, help me here a little bit. So if you're on a baseball team, you've got, for instance, you got the infield, right? Who's behind the plate? The catcher. And then who's throwing at the catcher? The pitcher. Now, of course, the guy's up at the bat trying to hit the ball that the pitcher is throwing. So you got a first baseman, you've got a second baseman, and you would think, and then you have a third baseman, but yet you also have what is known as a shortstop. The shortstop is that person who is going to be in the gap. One of the things that has evolved in baseball over the years that I have seen is now if somebody's a very strong pull hitter, everybody shifts to the other side of the field. And now you couldn't do that with some players because they were just good enough that all they have to do is just punch it to the other side. But you know, you got the first baseman, second baseman, shortstop, you have the third baseman. Then in the outfield, you have the left fielder, you have the center fielder, you have the right fielder. Now, if you're playing softball, you'll have another, I forget what they call that guy. Anybody know? The rover, yeah. So he's kind of the 10th player out there who is going to try to keep that ball from falling. So the thing is, though, when you have a team like that, it is one team. You know, so you have the Kansas City Royals, they have their team. And yet that team is made up of different parts. And so the point we see here is this, that the part or the individual positions or the particular members are different than the whole. And yet, what is also true is that the part is a part of the whole, and the whole includes the part. So you can't have a team if you say, okay, well, let's just not use a catcher and pitcher today. Yeah, I think we're going to play without the catcher and the pitcher. Well, you know, that's the two people you don't want to play without. You know, and of course, you know, sometimes when you're a small Christian school or something, you might end up saying, okay, we only have seven players, so let's just put that many people out there in the field. Now, how does that apply to us? Well, it applies to us in this way, that our church is one church. But yet, we have individual personalities. Now, I could really go off on this, and I could try to describe to you Emma's personality. There has never been another Emma in my life. But, you know, Emma has her unique personality. And then if you want someone really different, talk about her husband, Joe. I mean, he is a very unique individual. So we could talk about each one of us individually. And the fact is that even though we are a church, we are individuals. And the fact is, God doesn't want us to have uniformity so much as He wants us to be united. And uniformity means that we're all the same. We're all cookie cutter people. You are different than the person to your right, to the person to your left, front or back. And that is the fact. So the part is different than the whole. The second thing I want you to see here, a part cannot claim non-association with the whole. Now let me explain this. The part cannot claim non-association with the whole. Now this is true with the body. Look at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the obvious answer is, no, you can't say that. One member is not the whole. And the fact is that in verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See, a part cannot claim, so well, I'm not part of the whole. Now, from a team standpoint, when you are, you're with a team, and here it is, I brought my water, sorry. Don't you wish you had a drink? Now everybody's going to get a walk out and get a drink. So when you have a team, you know, the pitcher can't get out there and throw the ball and say, well, you know, this isn't my team, I'm just pitching. No, he's part of the team. Now, nor could anybody else that's on that team say, well, you know, I'm not part of this team, I'm just out here doing my thing. Now, we would obviously think if somebody's doing that, we have individual. Now, that happens a lot in basketball, by the way. In the case of basketball, you get people who are just plain good, but they're not team players. They don't know how to pass the ball. They just want to take all the shots. And especially when they keep taking shots and missing shots, that does not go over well, you know, at all. Somebody says, give me the ball, I'm wide open, you know. So you cannot say, well, you know, I'm just an individual. No, the fact is, one individual cannot say, well, I'm not a part of the team. Now, from a standpoint of the church, if you are part of this church, now that's a good question to ask. Are you part of this church? Now, Dave and Linda are not part of this church. I don't know why they don't just move here and do that, but they're not. You know, but obviously they're visiting. But you stop and think about each one of you individually. You cannot just say, well, you know, that's not my church. Or to say something like, well, that's, you know, that person's not my Sunday school teacher, when they are your Sunday school teacher. Or that person's not my pastor. No, you can't do that. If you are, the fact is that if you are part of the church, this is your church. And if you are part of this church, you cannot claim that you are unassociated with it. This is part of being carefully linked together with other believers. Now, obviously, there's a process that we go through to have somebody join our church. But I just tell people all the time who want to join our church to just jump in, be involved in our church, and we'll get through the process and you'll be a member of our church. One time I had an individual who came forward, just like often people do, and they come forward and he said, I want to join the church. I said, well, praise the Lord, you know, so that... I'm not sure if that Sunday or the next Sunday. I said, okay, let's vote on so-and-so to be in the church. And we voted on him, and then we never saw him again. So I thought, you know, this is not a good idea. Let's make sure people are, at least to an extent, as we're going to be talking about on Wednesday night, committed to the Lord's work here. So you cannot just say, well, I'm just here for the ride. I'm not here, you know, for any long-term sense. We've run into that problem over the years as well, because we had people who came to our church, well, I'm going to be out of the military in 3 or 4 years. Why would I want to get involved in your church? And I always tell them, well, you need to be involved in a church. So this whole idea of non-association is something that you cannot claim legitimately. The third thing we see here is that every part is important to the whole. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, now that's quite a picture. Where were the hearings? Can you imagine somebody just had, all he was an eye. It's kind of like the joke about the little boy who all he was a head. And his mother would sit him up on the windowsill and let him watch all the kids outside play. And he said, Mommy, Mommy, I want to go out and play. And she said, well, honey, you're just a head. You can't go out and play. And he said, no, I want to play. So he finally talked her into it, and she went out and took him out, and his head, and set him out on the curb. And he was sitting there watching the kids play, and all of a sudden the wind came strong, blew him over, and the car ran him over, and lost his life. And the moral of that story is this: quit while you're ahead. All right. Now, wasn't that a wonderful joke? Now, the fact is, I mean, it's like saying, you know, I'm an eye. Well, you know, eyes can't hear. Or if the whole verse 17 were the eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, you'd have no nose, you know. And just kind of an absurd picture. And the fact is, every part of the body is important. Now, I was just with my niece, and I'm up there in Michigan. I'm causing everybody to get COVID. And the interesting thing was, my niece, who is blind, many of you met Wendy. She did not catch COVID. I kept asking, "Is she okay?" "Yeah, she's okay." But she's blind. But she is the most content little, I say little girl, she's in her 40s now. But, you know, she grew up just blind and never been able to see. You know, and some people who have deficiencies like that, maybe they're deaf, sometimes they're able to have a sense about them that would know where they're at or to tell certain things. And the fact is, though, that really from a human body standpoint, every part of your body is important. Now, we sometimes wonder about that. You know, my wife had her gallbladder taken out. Oh, you don't need the gallbladder. You know, well, God must have put it there for a reason. And we could wonder about, you know, certain things. But the point he's making here is that every part is important to the whole. Now, in the case of a sports team, you know, you can't say, well, you know, here I am out in right field. I played right field. And sometimes you can spend the entire game out there totally bored because the ball is never coming out to you. And if it is, oh, there it is, you know, and you're running out there and you grab this thing. Now, that's not always the case. But the fact is that sometimes you say, well, I'm not important. And yet, when that ball is hit out there, it's very important. You know, I'm watching these football games. Now, if you find out what happened to Kansas City tonight, please don't tell me. But, you know, I'm watching these football games, and I'm watching, you know, where all of a sudden somebody out of nowhere is called upon to make a catch or to tackle somebody. And what may seem unimportant for the remainder of the game becomes very important, such in the case of Green Bay. It's what happened to them. Their special teams killed them last night. And the fact is, the part is important to the whole. So what is the application of this? Somebody tell me. What's that? Quit with your head. Now the application of this is this, that as an individual, you are important to this church. And whether you sit back there where Joe is or you're sitting up here, if I was a church attender, let me just tell you something. If I was a church attender, I would never sit in the back. Now, sometimes I'm visiting a church, I'll do that. But I'm always up there, you know, trying to be where the action is. But, you know, all of you are different. And some of you would rather not be seen. And what you really want is to see everybody. You know, but the fact is, you are important. You are not someone who is just an add-on to this ministry. And you may not get up here and preach like I do, or play the cello like Pastor Nathan does, or the piano like Pastor Karis does. And you may not be able to do all of these things, or play the organ like Emma does, but the fact is, your being here makes a difference. I was just teasing Pastor Nathan tonight. I said to him, I said, you know, there's a good group of people out here tonight. And I told him the story of Dr. Wendell Heller, and Pastor Dale Heffernan down in Wichita just started his church. Just a handful of people were there. And Pastor Heller, you know, if you remember him, he's just such an encourager. Somebody finally come walking in, and he looked over to Pastor Heffernan and said, man, another one just poured in. And sometimes you feel like that. You know, it's like, wow, somebody's here! Woohoo! But then you don't show up. That kills us. Now, not literally, but it really is a very discouraging thing when you could have been here and you're not. You are important. And just like the team, you know, if you get half the team out there saying, I don't think I'll just show up today. That's not a very good idea. The fourth thing that we see here is in verse 18. The part is put into the hole for the pleasure of him who placed him there. Now let me explain this. Look at verse 18. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So, that's interesting. So, you know, you think about, you know, why did God put certain things on our bodies? Well, God gave you your nose, he gave you your foot, he gave you your the members of your body for a reason. And what is that reason? It says here in verse 18, because it pleased him. You know what? God has given us what we have because he willed that. And all things were created for his pleasure, we're told in Revelation chapter 4, which literally is the same word that is translated will. And the truth is that God has placed you there for his good pleasure. Now, on a sports team, you know, it's up to the coach. And I used to coach. And as I told you, and when I coached 7th and 8th grade baseball, I was at least smart enough to know there was a guy, he was in 8th grade. He was taller than most of the players and extremely coordinated. And he could throw really, really hard, accurately. Now that wasn't hard for me to figure out, you know what, I'm going to see if this guy can pitch. And I forget his name now. But he got up there and he was just striking people out left and right. Almost to the point we beat one team so badly they jumped all over me. Why did you let him keep playing like that? You know, and I said, well, because I wanted him to get experience. But the fact is, why was he there? For my pleasure as the coach. And the application is God put you in this church for whatever reason the circumstances were led for him to do so. And whatever it is, you ended up in Manhattan, Kansas at Fort Riley Military Base or at Kansas State University, and you ended up in this church. I've never been too concerned about God building his church. God will build his church if it's his will to do so. But the fact of the matter is that God put you here for his good pleasure. And when you decide, I don't think I'm that important, nobody will miss me this evening. I had a teacher who once told us, when I taught at Bethany Christian School, he said, you know, you may not be able to get a whole lot of the message if you have a headache, but a lot of people are going to get a whole lot of you being there. And it's important that we understand that there is a sense in which God placed you on this team. Number five, the whole does not consist of all the same parts. Now that seems to be a repeating of what we've said, but look at verse 19. If they were all one member, where are the body? So the whole does not consist of all the same parts. You know, so you got different members, as we mentioned, the eye and the nose and so forth. One of the things that you'll find is that each, on a team, each player is unique. You know, not everybody can be a Tyreek Hill. Not everyone can be a Joe Burrows or a Patrick Mahomes, or a Travis Kelce. They can't all do what they do. I mean, you see some of those guys in the line. Now, I know some of this doesn't interest you if you're not into sport, but some of those guys on the line, they're big goons. I mean, they've eaten a lot of pizza over the years. And they know how to block and so forth. They're all different. Not everybody can do the very same thing. And each player is unique. And as I mentioned, that the coach determines who should play where. So don't be too discouraged by the fact that you can't be an Emma that can juggle crazily. Now, I was talking about people today who can do things because they practice at it. I try to do a little bit of juggling in my days, and I sometimes succeeded, sometimes didn't. But not everybody can do that. Not everybody would want to do that. You know, if you stop and think about it, you are so different. Now, didn't they say that, and I don't know who goes around looking at everybody's fingerprints, but everybody's fingerprint is different? How do they know that? Of course, statistically, they try to evaluate those things. But you're different. And you have to understand that the fact that you are different is not necessarily a negative. That's good. We need people like you. Number six, and this kind of goes along with what I just said, the different parts need each other. All right? The different parts need each other. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So, the fact is, we need every part of our bodies. And whether it be the head or the hand. And the fact of that is that, everybody has their part. And they are benefiting the whole. And you may not feel like you're doing a whole lot sitting in your pew, but you are doing something to help the whole. You know, in sports, in baseball, you can't do a double play without the shortstop or second baseman. I suppose you could if you had the guy coming all the way over from third base. But you want to make sure that each person does his part. You know, I used to always get these kids who just thought they were too good to need to practice. You ever known anybody like that? And they would say to me, I don't need to practice, coach. I know what I'm doing. I say, yeah, but you might know what you're doing, but the other players need to know how to do what you're doing. So, for instance, if they're going to do a double play, they need you there to practice that play. Why? Because we're talking about a team. I'm almost tempted to answer this person, whoever it might be. So, it is interesting that the different parts need each other. And I would just say to that, we need every one of you who are part of this church. We need you to be in your place, on time, ready to serve. You know, if you ever just gotten a lot of people who are being able to... I just lost my train of thought, so it might have been my wife. But if you ever had a group of people who are all doing their own thing and they don't think that they have any importance with each other... But the part needs the whole. And we need every one of you to be part of this church. Number seven. I'm almost done. Number seven. No part is unnecessary to the whole. Look at verse 22-24. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacked. So what we find here is that no part is unnecessary. So what seems to be kind of an insignificant thing, you know, if you ever think about, you know, oh, this little finger doesn't do a whole lot, but it does. Have you ever stubbed your little toe? All right? Or, you know, something that is very seemingly insignificant, almost to the point you don't even think about it. And this is why I was saying that, you know, as a in a ball team, somebody could say, "Well, I'm not important. I'm just the ball boy." But you know, somebody needs to help get those bats picked up. Every aspect of that team plays together. And the point is, you may seem like you're unimportant, but you're not. Number eight, unity within the different parts should be protected. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So this whole idea of a schism, you know, you want to make sure you have team unity. You know, I'm listening to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're saying that it's so fun to play in a team that everybody is working together and all of these things. And, you know, and that's important. Now, from a body standpoint, who wants to have one of their members severed? Or who would want to have something happen that would put them out of commission to use their arm? You know, no, we don't want that. So we want everything working together. Just as in a game, you would have individuals players, you want them together. You don't want everybody griping and complaining. Have you ever been on a team where everybody was just arguing? I can't remember what team I was watching. I think it was a pro football game this year. And it may have been Detroit Lions, which would be typical. But they're out there playing, and one of the teammates punched the other teammate. Apparently said something he didn't like. And I thought, well, there's team unity for you. Now, the fact is that we need to be alert to each other all the time. And when we see divisiveness taking place, now you can see it on the countenance of people's faces sometimes. And sometimes somebody is ready to leave. Now we just talked to our deacons the other day and we're saying, hey, let's keep an eye on our folks. If somebody quits coming, let's make sure we notice that. And that's important that we understand the importance of not only outreach, but inreach. And if somebody is being divisive, somebody's gossiping, or somebody is saying, you know, someone comes to you and says, you know, I don't like that about so-and-so. We need to protect that unity. And then number nine, you're always in trouble when you have a nine-point outline. Number nine, every part should be contributing to the whole. Every part should be contributing to the whole. Look at verse 26. It says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." So, if you do have a sore toe, what do you try to do with that toe? You may favor it by saying, okay, I'm not going to put my weight on it. Or, you don't say, well, you know, everything else in the body feels great. I don't care about that stupid toe. No, you don't do that. You take care of one another. Just as on a good athletic team, they want to help players who struggle. They praise players who get on the honor list. And instead of thinking, well, why didn't I get to? It's not that at all. That we are basically saying we are thankful for what everyone is doing. So we need to, by way of application, to take care of each other as we serve the Lord. And that's teamwork. And that's what God would have us to do. You know what I found over the years? This is very troubling. And I have nobody in particular in mind, but somebody will let me know that so-and-so is living in sin. And they say, well, I didn't tell you because it wasn't any of my business. Wait a minute. If somebody is needing some help, we ought to try to pick them up. Now, obviously, you might want to go to them first and make sure what is being accused of them is true. But don't take the attitude of, well, that's not any of my business. It is our business. And why? Because we're a team. And we're trying to do our very, very best. Now, let me make a couple comments that I think that we can see in regard to some of these things. You know, I mentioned that you as an individual is important, and the things that you do are important. You should be reading your Bible. You should be praying. You should be going to church. You should be witnessing. That is true. But what you do as an individual is different than what you're doing as a team. And, so for instance, as an individual, you might read your Bible, but as a team, you come and hear it preached. As an individual, you can pray to God, but as a team, let's pray together. As an individual, you can go to church, but as a church member, you can do church, encourage people and strengthen them in the Lord. As an individual, sure, you should be witnessing. But as a church, you should go out representing the church, trying to reach people for Faith Baptist Church. So, and you should not only personally serve the Lord, but you should also serve the Lord with other believers in the church. Now, when you look at this, this is just incredible. Why is it that he says after this, he tells us after this, the importance of love? Right? What's chapter 13? It's the what chapter? The love chapter. And if you truly do love one another, the scripture tells us in verse 4, you know, you got to be patient. He tells us that you need to be kind. He tells us in chapter 13, verse 4, that you don't envy each other. You don't boast. You're not proud. Verse 5, you don't behave in an unseemly way. He tells us there that we should not seek our own, but that we should be, as it tells us here, not easily provoked. You're not soon angry. You don't think evil of that person. You know, you don't keep records. And he tells us that you rejoice not in iniquity. You know, when someone does wrong, it should deeply grieve you. And you rejoice in the truth when they do the right thing. Now, it's easy for us to say, okay, yeah, well, let's all be a team. But the way to be a team is to love one another and to care about one another. And when you see somebody sitting there by themselves, the last thing you would ever do is just sit there and ignore them. Right? You don't just say, well, I'm going to go talk to my friends. When somebody over here is needing someone to say hi. It's called teamwork, folks. Or in the words of the book of 1 Corinthians 12, it's talking about members of a body. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be involved in the Lord's work with God's people. I count it an incredible privilege to be your pastor. And I say that sincerely. And you have been such a blessing to me. Sometimes, you know, you put up with some of my dumb, you know, quit while you're ahead jokes and things like that, and you put up with me. But it is a great, great honor. And we're a team. Let's hold hands. Maybe not literally, but let's hold hands and say, hey, let's work together. And you know what? When the team works together, great things for God can take place. But if we try to work as a bunch of individuals, we're going to find ourselves just living independently as opposed to interdependently. And let's praise the Lord that we have an opportunity to serve the Lord together. Amen? Now, Lord, what a blessing it is to have these folks in our ministry and you have brought so many different people over the years, and you have given different personalities with different gifts and different talents. And yet, Lord, you have built your church. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us as we think about being good stewards in our church. Help us to follow you in everything that's said and done. And we'll praise you for what you do. For Jesus' sake. Amen. What number are we at? I'm sorry. Put you on this. 547. Let's